Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we're talking about the Holy Spirit and how we interact with the Holy Spirit. So last week we talked a bit about some of the challenges we're going to face when we start to make ourselves available to God. He is a jealous God, and he will start putting his finger on things that are taking priority over our relationship with him. And especially when we start challenging our own beliefs about who the Holy Spirit is and how we interact, we already have expectations. And God uses those expectations to draw us into a closer relationship with him. So we want to be prepared to let go of some of the misbeliefs that we ourselves have formed or that we've inherited. Now, change is hard, even if it's a good change. And even if the change that we make is easy for us, it often affects others in our life. For those who are involved in churches or Bible studies or any kind of a religious group, when you start putting responding to God first, that may not sit well with others that you have been in fellowship with. When you put fellowship with God above fellowship with others, there's going to be misunderstanding. And that's fine with God. We don't want to rock the boat. There's no reason to cause unnecessary turmoil or challenge or conflict. But if he is rocking the boat, if God is rocking your boat, it's not up to us to try to stop it. If God is drawing you into a place of peace and rest and joy and healing and communion with him, and it interferes with something else that's going on, maybe a role you've been playing within a church, or it challenges beliefs or structure within your organization or your position. Obviously, you're going to have to make a choice as to which is more important, but others around you are also going to be faced with choices. And some are going to embrace what they see God doing in you, and others won't. And we just let him decide who's going to go which way and how that's all going to play out. Again, it's not our job to fix what God has decided needs to be broken. Now, he's not a... He doesn't joy in controversy. But it's necessary sometimes. When he first created the world, the earth, it was without form and void. Everything was going on at the same time. And out of that, he brought order. So what came first? The chaos. Sometimes he has to break us down and break us apart from things, from people, from our lives, before he can build us up. So we don't want to bring our preconceptions about what God would look like if it was him. One of the things we do is, okay, if this thing, activity, belief, feeling, manifestation, if this was from God, it would be this way. It would be done this way. It would be have a certain result. It would line up with certain criteria. And really what we're saying is that that we can predetermine how God can move. And I think one of the things to be encouraged about and challenged and humbled by is that when Jesus healed people, when he was here on this earth, he didn't do it the same way twice. And so we can rest assured that we can know the fruit and how we get there is up to God. We can look at the results. Is what you're learning or the manifestation you're experiencing, if it's bringing you into greater dependence on God himself, it is pretty closely positive that it's from him. Your enemies don't want you close to God, depending on him. They want you dependent on yourself, your own strength, your own faith, your own understanding of scriptures, your own people around you, things that you can control or choose to obey. But your enemies, the world, your flesh and the devil, don't want you depending on God. So if something, a belief or a manifestation or an experience, is drawing you into a greater peace and healing and appreciation and gratitude to God, drawing you to him, it is very, very, very likely that it is from him. And what is not, he will show us and reveal to us in his timing. We don't have to be concerned about failing him or misrepresenting him. As long as we're depending on him, he'll take care of the rest. And none of us are going to be depending on him perfectly. We're all in the process. So even when we miss him, oh, that's not him after all, or we thought it wasn't him and it turns out it was, we're all going to make mistakes in both of those areas. And we can just rest assured that we're free to make mistakes. And, of course, none of us want to be wrong or make a mistake, especially when it affects someone else. And we just want to be able to trust and have the confidence that if it does affect someone else, God will take care of it. Your mistakes, your missing Him, misinterpreting, misunderstanding, is not a surprise to God. He never goes, "Oh, wow, I didn't see that coming." He never says, "Oh, you know," he's not up there wringing his hands going, "Oh, shoot, you know, she said the wrong thing to this lady over here. Now what am I going to do? She didn't get the meaning out of what I gave her in that dream or that vision. Now what am I going to do?" He's not anywhere caught off guard. All things work together for our good, for everyone's good, because we depend on Him. And we know that if any of this desire to know Him is present in your life, it came from Him. And if it came from Him, you know, even in that thirst, is the guarantee of satisfaction. God is not a tease. If you have any desire to know Him or to be more comfortable with the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit's activities, the gifts, the ministries, the supernatural ways He does things, how things work in the natural, the supernatural, and the spiritual, if you have a desire to know any of that, it came from God. Because again, where else would it come from? Your enemies don't want you to understand God's reality. Because when you know God's reality from His eyes, you are free from your enemies. Doesn't mean they're not going to continue to bug you. You know, even after Jesus was in the desert, and He overcame the temptations, the devil still bugged Him every single day until He was crucified and rose again. Why? Because that's his job. The devil doesn't have anything else to do than bug you. That's what he's here for. So don't take it personal. It's like a mosquito. You don't take a mosquito personal. When you get bit and you got an itch, you don't start getting all upset, thinking, "Okay, what did I do? Well, maybe you forgot to put bug spray on, or you shouldn't have been out there without long sleeves." That's all you do. You don't, "Oh my gosh, I must have, you know, sinned." Well, it's the same thing when we find ourselves in a battle with our enemies. Don't take it personal. Yes, it affects you personally, but don't try to derive a greater meaning from it. That's God's job. Over time, we have talked and we will continue to talk about the issues that we have inherited, generational curses, generational beliefs, genetics. Those are things that we don't even see. And God shows them to us, and we can take care of them. So on one hand, it's personal because it's something we inherited, but it's not part of who we are. You are now a spirit being. And anything you inherited in your soul was not part of your spirit. Anything you inherited as part of your body, your genetics, is not part of your spirit. You became a new creature. But all these things are now part of your life, so you can learn how to deal with them. It would be an easy thing for God to take care of your enemies. But then you wouldn't learn how to overcome. So, as believers, our spirit has been reborn. And your connection with the Holy Spirit, that ability to hear him clearly, to see him clearly, to understand him immediately and perfectly, is reestablished. Right now, in your spirit, you have a full ability to move in all the abilities of the Holy Spirit. So anything that you have ever thought, oh, that'd be great, I'd really like the gift of healing, or I'd really like the gift of the word of knowledge, or any of the things that you've ever thought, okay, that's really, I'd like that, you already have it. You are one with the Holy Spirit. Our problem, as in any other way, is our soul and our spirit are not joined. We have that big block, that big brick wall between our soul and our spirit. And that's our challenge. That's why we're still here on this earth, is to overcome and to learn how to do that. That's why, that's what we're in school for. That's what we're being trained for. So it's not that God is withholding anything from you, or that you have a special anointing or special gift or a special call or purpose. You have all the purposes, all the gifts, all the callings. It's what does God want to be working with you at any given time. Our goal is to be available to him, to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, so that when the Spirit flows through our spirit, to our soul, through our body, into this world, there's nothing hindering that flow. How he does that is going to be so unique for each one of us that that's the real challenge. One of the things that we humans like to do is come up with rules and regulations and structure and do's and don'ts and organizations, religions, ways of judging how we're doing. And that is all going to be so unique to each one of us. And this comes back to how important it is to be able to hear God's voice for ourselves. God will tell you, this is the way. Walk in it. He doesn't tell you, okay, go tell someone else this is the way for them. No, you. This is your way. Now walk in it. Now, he may give you some encouragement to give to someone else, but your way is going to be different than their way. And we can share our travels. God gives us one another. And we travel with each other. But each one of us has our own unique path. We all have unique wounds that need to be healed, our own beliefs that need to be changed, our own relationship with God. So it always comes back to spending time with him so that he can sharpen our hearing so we can hear his voice, his heartbeat, his direction, so that he doesn't have to yell, that he can whisper this way, turn right here, okay, let's stop for a minute. And he doesn't have to split the heavens open, as cool as that might be. We don't want to have to make him yell when he really just wants to be able to whisper to us. He doesn't want to have to get our attention. He wants to already have it. And when we have that confidence that we know that we're hearing him clearly, our whole life changes. We can come to any challenge in our life with boldness and confidence, not arrogance, but that confidence, that same confidence that Jesus showed. You know, when they were mystified, where did you get this stuff? And where did he get it? He got it from his Father. It wasn't a brain thing. He wasn't smarter than everybody else. His experiences weren't different than anybody else. He learned how to learn from his Father. And then he did it. So think about it. What about the Holy Spirit intrigues you? As God continues his work of bringing our soul and body into completeness, he clears out all those misbeliefs, even about what intrigues us about the Holy Spirit. He says, okay, this was to draw you. Now let me tell you about what that really means. Or he may say, well, let's see how that works. Like, think about a power tool. A lot of people are really afraid of handling power tools because they're dangerous. They might hurt somebody. Well, he might say, okay, I want you to learn how to use some power tools. And if you know how to use the safety features and practice and follow the directions I give you, you aren't going to have any problems at all. So we need to get over, okay, being afraid of power tools. So let him draw you by whatever interest you have. So he clears out those misbeliefs. And remembering that operating in the gifts of the Spirit, which is simply the Spirit flowing from our spirit through our soul and sometimes our body, that's what we're made for. But those ways of doing things have been so corrupted and co-opted by our self, by our flesh, that the Spirit has to do a lot of cleaning out, a lot of rewiring. And we have to maybe relearn how to walk, how to run, how to sit and be patient, how to do things differently. We think, okay, we know how to pray for people. You know, you sit them in the chair, everybody in the church comes and lays their hands on them and pours oil over the head, and God has to do something. Well, God may not want to do it that way. And we have to be willing to say, okay, now, what's really going on there? And we see that where that may have been effective in one situation, that was never meant to be a catch-all for every situation, that every situation is different. He doesn't have a button to push in order to get a certain response. He's not an arcade game where you put in a quarter and you get a certain result. He's a living being and doesn't like being taken for granted. So a lot of these beliefs and a lot of our understandings and impulses need to be repaired and cleared up, because we want to be a vessel and a conduit for His love, His power, His abilities, and not mix it with our own flesh, our own ideas. And even that will bring challenges, because, you know, we like getting credit. We like having control. We value knowing what's going to happen. So we have a ways to go in that. But God knows exactly where you're at. And the more we embrace the Holy Spirit in this endeavor, the more we see Him move supernaturally in our lives and in our world, our circumstances. Likewise, if we resist His activity in that supernatural realm, as He's training you, if you decide, okay, this is it, I don't want to go any farther than this, we're not only keeping Him from doing His job in and through us, we're saying no to God Himself. We're resisting His healing for us. We're resisting His purpose and plan. And when it comes right down to it, we are resisting our own spirit. And these are things that we will have to bear the consequences of. And this is where we have another challenge. The more you set your heart, your mind, your soul, your body to want more of God, the more you say yes to Him, the more jealous He becomes. If you say, yes, Lord, I want to be available for your training. I want to know you. I want to depend on you. I want everything you have for me. He's going to say, okay. But there's a cost. So He wants you to understand that this is not a game. And it's not because you can do damage. It's because He loves you. And there are consequences to freedom, which is really what God is bringing us into. It's the kind of freedom that we really have not experienced. But just as free as God is, that's the freedom He has for you. It's not a greater and greater restriction. It's a greater and greater freedom. When your spirit, soul, and body are fully aligned, you have as much freedom as Jesus does. Now think of it. when Jesus was on the cross, he had the perfect freedom to get down at any time. He could stop it, but he chose not to. He instead was continuing to depend on his Father to keep him through that experience. But he had the freedom and could have stopped it at any time. So odds are you and I will never have to go through anything like that. But we will be challenged with making choices and bearing consequences. Remembering, though, that it's the love of God. It's his goodness that draws us, not the fear of consequences. We just have to acknowledge that there are consequences. So we'll pick this up here next week, the same time. Feel free to drop me a line at diane@wecanprepare.org. Until next week, this has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great night.